Okay, we're on air, just so you know. I'm here, so is Graham.
Welcome, welcome. What's the name of your show?
Fire on the Mountain.
Fire on the Mountain. What was the inspiration for that?
Song.
What song?
Fire on the Mountain.
No shit, who's it by?
The Grateful Dead. It's
all
a
right.
Good song, though.
And what does it mean to you?
It's just a cool name.
All right.
Well, there were the extensive we need a little more volume on our mics. There were the extensive forest fires when I started my show.
Oh, the one.
Kind of made sense, too, yeah.
The ones in Boulder?
Loveland, but yes.
Oh, when were there fires in Loveland?
Recently-ish.
Okay. You should not go into journalism.
I probably shouldn't. I don't remember when. I think it was...
There was fires. Somebody's life was affected. But we don't care here on Fire on the Mountain.
Essentially. I mean, honestly, when people build their houses up there...
Yeah.
They can kind of expect...
Oh, yeah. I don't think... I think if someone builds their house up there, you know, we shouldn't spend so much trying to save their precious little mountain home. We should just...
Just let it burn.
Yeah, just let it burn. And, well, because that's what's healthy for the forest anyways is...
Sometimes. Not if it's unnaturally made, I don't think. I think if someone...
It depends. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends when the last fire was. If the last naturally occurring fire was put out, then an act of arson might be okay for the forest. It depends how far between the fires are happen.
Yeah.
Words in my mouth.
Oh, and so we decided the topic for for discussion this time would be driving laws.
Did we?
I think we did, because it's terrible for the environment, and it's just a terrible law in general that you have to have had your license for 6 months to drive one person, then a year to drive.
Maybe we should expand it to Darwinism in general.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah, because I don't know if the driving laws is going to get us through 3 hours, so maybe we'll talk about survival of the fittest and killing off the weaker of our species.
And
via the driving laws of the United States.
Egypt.
Let the kids hit the streets.
I don't know if anything interesting is happening in Egypt, so I'm going to Al Jazeera.
A great news source. I think, you know, especially whenever you're viewing, you know, a conflict or a story from whatever region in the world it is, I think it's better to go to the news source of that region rather than, you know, going to, you know, any U.S. news
CNN.
Source or even BBC, you know.
BBC is good, though.
BBC is a good...
What I like about BBC is that you can just go in and if you're looking for news and then...
Yeah, yeah.
On
it's a good place to start, but I think, you know, if you want to know about, you know, say the conflict in Egypt, you shouldn't have, you know, an English journalist who's been in Egypt for a week and a half covering the conflict. You should have an Egyptian, you know, who has more of a background... And it, you know, it goes for any region in the world.
What is good about BBC is they have live feeds sometimes.
Yeah, well,
Al Jazeera has one right now.
Oh, they've had a great one of Cairo for the last couple of weeks, and they did a their coverage on Tunisia was incredible. You know, I actually ended up missing a day of classes last month because I just got so absorbed researching the revolution in Tunisia via Al Jazeera. Anyways, we'll probably play some music for you.
Promised.
Maybe. I don't know what he's doing. He's fiddling with his dials, and I can't tell if he's fiddling with his pants or the computer. That's for you, Ingrid.
We're making sounds.
We're gonna...
Nope, didn't make any
sense. In a 3-year sentence.
Yeah.
Convicted under Tunisian anti-terror laws for publishing banned materials online. His family say he's innocent.
Well, that's interesting material, but...
Yes, thanks for giving us that great insight, Jeremy.
Labor unions boost protests. Thousands of factory workers stay away from work as pro-democracy protesters continue to rally, seeking Mubarak's ouster. Interesting stuff. I'm going to play music.
Okay, what's going to start us off tonight?
Come on. Oh. I think parents will love this one.
Okay, what's going to start us off?
Against Sex.
Songs Against Sex by Neutral Milk Hotel.
Sing singular song and sex, but yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I had something to say. I turned off the mic.
As recorded in the basements of Denver, Colorado, Neutral Milk Hotel.
Really? This album?
On Avery Island.
On Avery Island.
Yeah, it was recorded in Denver. And like they're based out of Louisiana and Georgia, but for this album they went up to Denver and recorded it. And ever since then they've been back in Athens, Georgia. But okay, this is a song about not giving roofies or not taking roofies. Do enjoy.
Huh?
Last song was Love, Love, Love by the Mountain Goats. And before that, we had songs that I'm not aware of. What did we have before that? Songs Against Sex, and then what was after that?
Sealed with a Kiss by Deerhoof, which is interesting. And a little more volume on the microphones.
So we're sitting here talking about shows coming up this spring. And the one that really pops into our mind is the Elephant Six Surprise Holiday Tour, as they're calling it. It's NutriMilk Hotel and the associates started this little collective.
What is
label.
It really? It's not a record label because they're under what are they under? Orange Twin.
Well,
most of them.
Yeah, I guess it's more of a collective, but they've released some of their earlier stuff was released under just Elephant Six. And, you know, they have bigger bands like Of Montreal who don't release under Elephant Six, but it's sort of just a family that they all contribute together.
They don't release under Orange Twin anymore. They're under Polyvinyl.
Yeah, it's really grown. But it's just kind of friends making music and, art projects and movies. And so they're having this tour around the country where, 14 different people from... six, seven, eight, whatever, however many bands just play each other's songs and, it's supposed to be very interactive. They'll show their movie and, they'll bring people on stage and they'll go out into the audience and play games and just, a very different sort of concert setting. And so they're coming through Denver, but it's a 21 and up show. And then, so the closest show to us would be Salt Lake City. But apparently Jeremy is going to be in Vancouver skiing at Whistler. Which sounds incredible to me. Pretty good an alternative to Elephant Six.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. Be nice to see them, but... I mean, especially Major Organ and the Outing Machine. I think that would be the big one to see there.
I would like to...
They're just interesting.
Yeah, oh.
And they're also... The music is also good if you get onto a song that's not just...
Well, it's a lot of...
Onto a more musical song rather than an experimental song.
It's a very experimental album, but if you're in the right mood, it really hits me well. I'd like to buy the movie, though.
And the Gerbils.
Yeah, I don't know the Gerbils that good. Well. What are the Gerbils like?
They have a very Neutral Milk sound. I can't remember which one. It's one of them from Neutral Milk in the Gerbils. Mm-hmm. I could play some... Oh, you got the iPod. All right. Yeah. Oh, and then we could go to Chicago. Would you go to Chicago for an
Elephant Six show? Of course I would go to Chicago for Elephant Six and the possibility of seeing Jeff Mangum.
Yeah.
But I don't exactly have the gas money to drive to Chicago right now.
And that's not a Friday.
We could take a train.
And, bus. I'd contribute too. But that's also not a Friday, so there'd be more of a chance of, Drew being able to go.
What day is the Chicago show?
The 15th, which is... I think I'll be back by then.
But really, I would rather drive... If we're going to go, I'd rather drive up to Minneapolis than see them in Chicago.
Or Minneapolis, but I think that's the day I'm getting back.
What's the venue in Chicago?
Lincoln Hall.
Oh, I'm not familiar with it.
And then in Minneapolis, it's Varsity Theater.
Anyways, people probably aren't as interested as us in...
Every
stop of the Elephants.
It's interesting.
I did go up to Chicago for a show this fall, and it was a great experience. Chicago, Chicago seemed to have a slightly different vibe than any shows I've seen in Denver. It just seemed like more of a musical community, and I don't know. There was a real synthesis in the audience members. It's a good time.
And see, the Minneapolis show is $15. I think it, because I think at in Salt Lake it was $5, you said, right? Or 10?
It's 10 in Salt Lake, yeah.
Yeah, oh, Chicago, it's an 18 over show. And it's $12. And let's see, in Salt Lake would probably be the best one because it's closer and it's a good town.
Salt Lake's only, it's a good town, you think?
I mean,
not that familiar.
Besides the Mormons.
Besides 98% of the town?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Drew, when Drew went to Salt Lake, he didn't seem to like it that much. He said that the poverty was just staggering and they sort of tried to hide it under, you know, put a face over it and hide it behind the church. But he said that, you know, it was pretty crippling, and anybody that came out as gay to their parents ended up on the streets pretty quickly. And I don't know, that's just his perspective on it. But
what it seems like is as a nice, the main culture is kind of cruddy. But the kind of youth, more of a counterculture kind of thing existing in Salt Lake is more interesting. Like the more music, like a good music scene too.
Are you judging that by SLC punk?
No.
Completely.
No, not at all.
What basis do you have?
I was not thinking of that movie.
What? Yes, you were. What basis
do you have? Just stuff I've heard.
Okay.
I was not thinking of that movie. It's a good movie though.
It's a very good movie. Okay, enough of our voices.
Our ramblings on.
We won't get so egotistical, and we'll play a song by you.
Alright.
Next, we're going to have... I'm going to tell them what we're going to play.
Alright, no, I know.
Up next, we're going to have Moonchild by M83.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't really think... I think we should stop playing the World Police and not metal in affairs that aren't of significance to us. I think if we should let it, it's a revolution, and it doesn't need another, you know, finger dipping into the pot.
I don't think it's necessarily a finger dipping into the pot, but just the choice still affects, even if basically the choice is to stop aiding the Egyptian government.
Oh yeah, well I
think that's what should happen, definitely, but.
Well, we have to wait to the other side of the protesting and revolution, and then decide. You know, you can't really say now whether we should stop aiding the Egyptian government because it's just such a turmoil. We need to wait and see what the result is before the decision to aid the government or not it happens. Because we don't know who's going to be in power. So how do we know how to respond? It's
yeah.
too early to speculate, I think.
I think they should just pull out all aid and just let it unfold.
Well, yeah,
because
either
way they're aiding the Egyptian government, they're still influencing it. And I think.
Oh, we should stop supplying weapons, certainly.
And if they stop, I mean, there's like American tanks rolling around.
Oh, and F-16.
Cairo.
F-16. We send billions of dollars of weapons to both Egypt and Israel, because those are our two allies in the region.
Big allies. I mean, you could look at Saudi Arabia as an ally simply because of the oil.
But we're not sending them weapons.
That's a good point, but...
As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, how should we know?
Oh, we should know.
No, we wouldn't necessarily know.
But we should know.
We should know. But if they're keeping something like that quiet... But it's very possible we wouldn't know. Do you want to play this song, or we don't have to play this song if you don't like the song?
What song?
The Gorilla song.
Oh yeah. Up next, we have "Fire Coming Out of the Monkey's Head" by the Gorillas.
Oh, which is really fun to say when you're just telling people to hurry. You go, go, Gold Bordello. Yeah.
I say Hadi Baba.
Hadi Baba.
Means, come here, friend.
Scoot your pooch.
Means, come here, friend, or let's go, friend, in Turkish.
That's pretty awesome.
Maybe I should tell that story, and then we'll play that song. That's what we're going to do.
Okay. We can talk about drinking ages later.
Oh,
well, I'm actually going to look that up, because I'm not quite positive if that's true. That
well, before this, we were just talking about how Europe, we believe that the laws have been changed so that if you're 18, you can't go into pubs across a lot of Europe. And then, you know, obviously looking at the United States, where you have to be 21 to go into bars or pubs. And I think that's such a mistake, you know, purely because it's such a great learning environment. And, you know, you may question that, but I really, you know, believe as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, whatever, you know, in those years there, it's a great place to expose yourself to, you know, people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and just talk to them and get a different perspective on the world. Because, you know, when you're in college or you know, just out, you're generally going to be hanging out with people your age, you know, that come from sort of similar backgrounds, and you know, you're not getting such a wide variety of stances on the world. But when you're sitting talking to these people that, you know, are slightly intoxicated, you know, they have the social lubricant, as it's known. And you know, you learn a lot about their lives and about the world around you. And you know, unless you're crinkling with candy so you can hear it on the radio. He's not even listening.
I am.
I just feel like it's a good way to learn about the world and closing the young off to it is a mistake, in my opinion. I try to think, is there a way that, you know, between 18 and 21, you could monitor the alcohol sales to those people in the bar? And I don't think that's really possible, because they'd be getting drinks even if, you know, if there was a limit somehow. But I spent a lot of time these last couple of months going down to the local pubs and just, you know, talking to these people. And, you know, a lot of them were, you know, old, you know, 40-year-old women who were sort of down on their luck, and but they'd seen a lot, and you know, they wanted some. They came to these pubs specifically because they had no one to talk to, and they sort of, you know, wanted their voices out there. And you just talk with them and get to know them. And I learned a lot about the world. You know,
seems a little creepy
sitting
hanging out with 40-year-old women in pubs.
See, that's a problem. That's an issue. It seems strange to you to be talking to someone who's twice my age, and it shouldn't, you know, because
I'm just giving you crap, but yeah.
I know, but it's an idea that comes into your head, which, you know, obviously, I mean, you know, there's an origin of it somewhere. And whether it's a joke, there's still a little reason for you to think that, because, you know, you spend so much of your time, I mean, maybe you'll spend time with your parents' friends, but, you know, the majority of your days are spent with people your age, and that's all you learn from, and, you know, that's very limiting.
It's great to start conversations with people. You know, here in Old Town, there's that guy every once in a while with
Wolf.
Huge cross. Wolf? Who's Wolf?
Oh, sorry, different
he,
man.
He has a huge cross, and he just stands there, and the cross says, "Are you ready?" And he's this extremely religious guy, but it's fun to just have a conversation with him about, and we had a very extensive conversation that got into, like, philosophy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was good. 50 or so, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful way to learn about the world.
I think it's important.
Oh, yeah. I
think, I mean, part of why kids are so stupid nowadays is that they just don't talk to older people who do know some stuff. And, well, and even if it's not just knowing what to do, it's just getting a new perspective on life.
Yeah, it's just seeing the possibilities out there. And certainly in junior high and high school, I think there was a pretty abundant prejudice against the elderly. And
I can see where it comes from, and it's, in a way, it's healthy.
How do you mean?
Youthful rebellion is healthy.
Well, yeah.
For proper development, but then there's also a point where you have to accept that's another point of view, is the point of view of the older.
Well, you learn how to incorporate it into your perspective on the world.
Yeah, I think you don't need to. I don't think you need to accept the point of view, but at least acknowledge it, and then you can have your own and rebel against that point of view.
Well, and just see that you can find a little bit of truth in almost anything that another person says to you. And it may be hard with some extreme points of views, but there's always a little truth in it that we can find.
And anything you talk to anyone about, you pick up, and that's another piece of knowledge you have.
And then you know, maybe you'll be in a classroom somewhere down the line, and you'll hear something, and you'll have this real world experience of this conversation of this guy you bumped to, he dropped his books and you bumped into him, and just like this random chance occurrence that you have with somebody, you can actually apply it to what you're learning about, and that really expands the classroom setting.
Yeah, I mean, things like drinking are part of culture.
Yeah, and
I also hate how schools censor just even like the picture of alcohol sometimes. It's really ridiculous. Like when it was in my French class and people were drawing these weird like caricatures of walruses from different nationalities. And of course the German walrus had lederhosen on, which was what offended me. And the terrible haircut, and it was kind of ridiculous. And he was fat because he was a walrus too.
And he was a German walrus.
Yeah, okay, fine. And he had a beer mug in his hand with some beer in it, and the teacher ended up erasing it, and that angered me. It's part of the culture, is drinking beer. If anything, you should be erasing the lederhosen, because that's not part of the culture anymore. It's just part of tradition, and they're terrible-looking pants, and they're very uncomfortable.
That sort of points out one of the major problems with the drinking culture in the United States is it's so hidden. We don't like to expose the youth to it, and it's always viewed as this negative aspect. Yeah, it's very taboo, and it's always linked to alcoholism and drunken driving and rape and all these problems that can stem from it. But it's seen as such a negative thing, and it's seen as something that you have to hide, because you're it's a bad thing to do. It's something you have to hide. It's not just a natural social aspect, and so I think that's one of the reasons that binge drinking is so prevalent in the U.S. as comparatively.
I mean, also just the forbidden aspect of it makes it more alluring to young people. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there's that kids do stupid stuff in Europe and get really, really wasted, but it's definitely not as prevalent as here. It's part of the culture to just go out and have a beer at the bar every once in a while and just drink it as a social aspect, because it tastes good. It's like, oh, secretive. We got to get really wasted because our parents don't want us to drink.
Well, yeah, and it becomes, instead of, I think, instead of the central aspect of the night just being, this social outgoing with your friends, the equivalent of, it's equivalent of just sitting in a coffee shop and having a tea or a coffee. But, it's with alcohol. It's the same sort of thing, You sit around and you talk with your friends for a couple hours, and if at the end of the night...
You can talk to adults.
And you can talk to adults, and if at the end of the night you've consumed enough alcohol that you're drunk, well, then you're drunk, but you sat there and you talked with your friends. But it...
And you because, just shouldn't drive home.
Yeah, and because you have to hide it, so much, and it's... I don't know, it just seems like there's more of a culture of drinking to get wasted, and the social atmosphere is sort of lost, and the central point of the night is how quickly you can get fucked up. It's just it becomes such a nasty thing. It's not just having a beer; it's getting fucked up, which is
and pouring vodka in your eyes.
Yeah, and it's just
people do that.
It's terrible and it's gross and
kills people. It's really ridiculous.
So, yeah. If I could think of a good song, can you think of a good song about alcohol? He got a smirk on his face, so I figured as much.
Yeah.
What are we going to hear?
We already played this band, but it kind of fits it. So, this is more Gogo Bordello.
What's the song?
Alcohol. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Creative.
Yeah, it fits in very well. All right,
I was thinking My Slow Descent into Alcoholism by the New Pornographers, but we'll play Alcohol by Gogo.
We can play both.
No, it's not that great of a song. It's just funny.
All right, here it is.